And welcome to episode 10 of the Midweek F1 podcast. Now, before we go any further, if you are watching on YouTube, then click subscribe, please. If you've got anything you want to say, put it in the comments section below. And wherever you get your podcasts, if you are listening, then click the follow button, please, because it's all good for us. Marvellous. So on this show, this is the last look at the race just gone and the first look at the race coming up. But when it comes to the completely crackers world of Formula One. As always, I'm Nicola Hume. I am your host. And this week, I am joined by BBC and Sky F1 commentating hot shoe and young buck, Mr. Harry Benjamin.
What an honour. Thank you so much, Nick. It's an honour to be here, sit in the seat of Mr. Ben Edwards just for a week and then I'll be back. But what a race to come in for as well. Looking forward to getting into all things Barcelona.
Can I ask you a question before we move on, please?
You may.
Is it more pressure filling in for Crofty on Sky F1, or is it more pressure filling in for Ben on this show?
This.
Yeah.
100% this.
So. Yeah.
Much smaller crowd, you know, you've got producer Jim looking at me as well and everyone behind the camera, so.
Bigger audience though, so.
Oh, well, absolutely.
Yeah, we're kind of a big deal.
Like and subscribe, you heard it.
And such is the magnitude that went down in Spain. We are bringing back a very special guest. Welcome to the show, Mr. Colin Furze.
Hello, how are we doing again?
All right.
Back here and I.
Yeah. Back in your shirt and tie.
Yes. Who am I without it?
Slightly battered as well.
But. Totally battered. It's seen some things, this has.
Well,
can I just quickly ask before we move on? So, because everyone that watches your YouTube channel knows that this is how you dress.
Yeah.
Do you have several versions of that shirt?
This is the current shirt.
Yeah.
There has been two of us, a slightly checked version and another version before that, which got burnt along
right.
with me because I had an explosion in my shed. But I'm not quite like Mr. Bean,
yeah.
who opens his wardrobe and that's literally all
that's
there
what
is.
I thought your wardrobe. So different
in a couple of days, but it's not far off.
I was so sure that's what your wardrobe looked like.
Well, we'll have more in-depth analysis on Colin's attire throughout the show. We'll also have our We Need to Talk About feature, and it's a less than super sub one of the teams has brought in mid-season.
And of course, our very own midweek F1 Championship of the World. Who scored well from last weekend? Spoiler alert, not me. Didn't do well.
I don't know. How did Ben do? No.
You'll find out later.
I will find out later. Okay. We'll then dive into what we might expect in Canada. That's the next stop on the 2025 Formula One World Championship. Should we get stuck in?
Yeah, honestly, where do we even start? I mean, it was probably the most exciting race for a while, especially coming off the back of Monaco, which was incredibly boring. But watching that Spanish Grand Prix was so exciting and also controversial at the same time.
Yeah, just a bit, wasn't it? I mean, the Spanish Grand Prix can normally be a little bit boring, I think it's fair to say.
I was pretty good. Expecting to come here and we'd just be like...
two-stop strategy, that was interesting.
Bit of a testing session, eh? but no, for Spain, it was fantastic. So,
obviously,
brilliant.
The headline story, Nico Hülkenberg robbed of driver of the day.
Oh, my goodness.
I think that's one of the main takeaways from the Spanish Grand Prix. Max Verstappen did a few things towards the end as well, which...
just a few.
Might have been a bit sketchy, maybe a bit. But on the whole, I called it a race of two halves, but it wasn't because for the majority of it, it was quite interesting strategy-wise.
Yes, it was.
Because Max Verstappen was really putting as much pressure as he could on the McLaren duo. The win was never really in shot, but second place might have been possible.
Yeah, because there was a point in the middle where I was like, you know, you look at what he's doing and you think, oh, actually, this is not going too bad for him, really.
Yeah.
He could end up, like you say, popping off Lando or something, or, you know, grabbing one of them. And it was a little bit, you know, like sometimes with some strategies, unless you start looking and crunching numbers, which I don't when I'm watching it, because I just want to watch it and have fun. I don't want to dive off and start calculating stuff. I was thinking, is he doing well or not? I'm like, can't quite understand it yet.
Yeah.
Because there was a point, like, and then they got to their last stops, and then he seemed to be equal, like, they were all stopping at the same time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's happened there? Sort of thing. Then you start thinking, have I missed a stop somewhere? Or something like that. So, yeah, but it was good.
Yeah, it was an interesting race to watch. Obviously, the last couple of laps were absolutely bonkers. So what we're going to do, as is tradition, is we're going to bring in producer Jim. Now, before we do that, make sure you subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Add your comments of what you thought about Barcelona last week, and we'll hopefully give you a shout out next week. Over to you, producer Jim.
Right, let's start at turn one. Oscar Gems' start from pole, Lando doesn't, 2024 style, allowing Max to muscle past. Is Lando thinking championship, or does Max have him in his pocket psychologically when they are wheel to wheel? Discuss.
It's kind of weird because Lando's starts haven't been great generally.
It's his weak spot.
Yeah, if you used to put money on anyone not having the best of start, he would be a safe-ish bet. So in terms of the whole Max thing, I mean, they clashed quite a bit last year, didn't they? Does he just need to... He needs to reset that somehow. Because Oscar, at the beginning of the year, they seem to... It's like he seemed to race Oscar differently. Mm-hmm. And it was like he was a bit of an unknown quantity. Whereas, like you say, Max has beaten Lando on quite a few times and he's kind of like, he'll move. It's like a game of chicken, isn't it, basically?
Yeah.
And he's fought him. So maybe does Lando need to clatter into him? I don't know, they've done that in Austria, so maybe that's not the answer. I don't know. It's all in the head, isn't it?
I don't think Max has, you know, is in Lando's head yet. I think maybe at times when they're racing wheel to wheel. But when it came to the start in particular, I mean, Lando didn't get the best of starts. It wasn't a dramatically poor start, but then Verstappen got a good launch. And then actually at one point, I thought Norris might get nicked by Russell as well. He was right up there too. And then at one point, the Ferraris both got, Charles Leclerc in particular, got an absolutely mega start, three wide at one point going down to turn one. So I think whether he's thinking championship, I don't know. I think generally it's just one of Lando Norris's weaknesses that he's not as good at getting the start right. And then you compare him to Oscar Piastri, who, you know, clear road in front of him and got away well. The unfortunate thing, and why it's magnified maybe this weekend, is that it's over like 540 metres down from pole to turn one. So if it's going to get magnified anywhere, it's going to be there. But, okay, that's racing. You lose out going out to turn one, fine. Verstappen managed to disrupt the McLaren duo. Mm-hmm. But that McLaren car, with the hot temperatures, it's better on its tyres. I think Norris... Again, unfortunately, he stuck behind, but it was only a matter of time before he was going to get that place back, in my opinion.
Producer Jim.
Return of the Hulk, possibly the best driver of his career. Starts 16th, finishes 5th, so nearly wiped out in turn one. What a drive, discuss.
Sorry, can we just take a moment to appreciate the fact that there is a Kick Sauber faster than a Ferrari? What is happening?
To see him overtake, because in those last 6 laps... Main attention was obviously on Verstappen and falling down the field all of a sudden. And then almost it felt like in the background of the shots that we're watching, you're seeing a green car going past a red car. That red car is Lewis Hamilton. And the green car is Nico Hülkenberg, who started in, what, 15th position?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that car has only scored points once so far this year. At the start of the year, because he managed to survive the mayhem in Australia with all the weather conditions... Fair play. Well done, Hülkenberg. Well done, Sauber. And I think to bring a serious testament to it, that's why they have somebody like Hülkenberg in that car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when there's so many doubts over why have they signed him on a multi-year deal for when it becomes Audi? That's why. Because when there is a result to be had, they brought a bit of an upgrade this weekend as well. Maybe, just maybe the stiffening of the wings helped them out.
I was going to say,
is
that brought them
maybe. I think an upgrade helped more. But... Fair play, Hülkenberg. Welcome back to the points.
It was like 3 stages of his race. A good start, because I think he got to P10.
Yeah, he did.
Start.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's one thing. But then he didn't just go backwards, because if it had been a fluky start, obviously you're in a slower car, you normally start to slip back to your natural position. He then obviously overtook, well, he got to about, what, 7th or 8th or something? So he maintained position and gained positions. The last bit after the safety car, I mean, I think he had a tyre advantage over Lewis, didn't he? Because Lewis's tyres were knackered. So that was just a bit of an icing on the cake. And then obviously Max doing his hoo-ha got another place. But still, if you're not in that position to take advantage of it, you can't go forward.
But it was on merit. You know, P5, okay, lucked into that. P6
merited. That was merit.
Absolutely merited. Yeah. I think that's Sauber's best result since 2022, which, you know, they've had a pretty barren run of things in the last couple of years. So I think that's a well-needed boost for the team too.
Definitely.
Producer Jim.
Okay, we can't wait any further. Engine failure for Antonelli brings out a late safety car and it then all kicked off. Unpick what we saw.
Okay.
I mean,
The safety car laps just kind of went on for quite a long time because obviously we had to wait for the back of the pack to catch up because there was points involved and it all had to become very fair. So it was just watching the safety car for so long and then not knowing what was going to happen next, knowing that then Max was on hards because that was a tricky situation to be in. Would he have been better off putting on new softs? Absolutely.
Yeah, but he didn't have any. That's the problem. There were no...
I think they were the same age as the ones he was on, wasn't they?
So that he had a set of softs available, but speaking to the teams and people in the paddock, they had done two push lap, a push lap and a cool down lap in qualifying, plus a lap to the grid as well. So they were basically...
You think that would have been better, actually.
Well, but, I thought they would have been the same to what he was already on, which was, you know, old mediums. So the better bet surely would have been to stay out.
Because he would have been in front as well, then, I think.
With yeah, and we know Max Verstappen. He would have surely got his elbows out and defended. Okay, third, maybe third would have been lost eventually, but... Fourth would have been there for the taking, I think. I think that was a proper just a mistake from the Red Bull pit wall, but that made his blood boil.
But anyway, they didn't do that.
They didn't do that. And so he had his little slip up, and then obviously some cars went to overtake, and then there was a mishap when it came to George Russell, which we all know that now Max has put on his Instagram that it was a wrong move to do. But obviously heat of the moment, we don't know how that feels. We don't know how it feels to be driving 200 mile an hour with someone really close to you. Some of us might see red, and that's just the case when it comes to certain drivers. And he has openly said, yes, it was a wrong move. And then it all just got a bit weird because he shouldn't have given that place back. So that was probably a little mistake there from Red Bull to make him hand back that place, which then caused even more drama. And now he's got penalty points, and then he was given a grid penalty as well, a 10-second penalty, sorry. So, yeah, it was all just a bit of a mess.
It was. I think, well, look, the hard tyre choice, blood boil, nearly losing it on the safety car restart in the final corner, then getting mugged by Charles Leclerc, a bit of contact there, the initial contact with George Russell. Interestingly, odd weekend in the end for Red Bull, because you don't normally see them, from the pit wall at least, make these kind of sort of errors. Jean-Pierre Lambiesi was saying, give back the position. Max, obviously not happy about that. But I think at the end of the day, okay, we don't know what it's like to race, right, call it a couple hundred kilometres an hour. But we all know, maybe I'm making an assumption here, what it's like to lose your temper.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost his temper. But I don't think you can do that when you are a four-time champion and at the top of your game, one of the best drivers Formula One has ever seen. You can't be doing what Max Verstappen did.
No, it is tricky. It's kind of weird because I was thinking on the way here today that obviously they always compare it to the Vettel thing. And obviously Vettel, Red Bull driver, Vettel, four times world champion. Mm-hmm. Oh, the similarities.
So maybe
it's something to do with Red Bull, just the way they pressurise everybody.
I was trying to remind myself of what happened to Vettel. Because the first thing I thought of when this happened was Michael Schumacher against Damon Hill going for the championship. Yeah. And then Michael Schumacher got disqualified from the race and lost his points. Mm. Okay, maybe the stakes were obviously higher at that point in the season. But I looked up, I tried to remind myself what happened to Vettel when he basically in Baku in 2017 went into the side of Hamilton.
Yes, he fought Lewis, brake tested him.
Yeah, so he got a 10-second stop-go penalty. Okay, he got penalty points for it as well. It's worth remembering, actually, Verstappen is 1 point away from a race ban.
Yes.
And then he went away and actually Vettel sort of gave out a proper public apology for what he did. The FIA actually looked into it afterwards and said, okay, because Vettel has done this public apology, he was also committed to doing educational work with the FIA. We won't take this any further. So if they are going to be consistent, I wonder if the FIA and the international tribunal that it could go to, if he does something like this again, would take firmer action.
Vettel's was probably a little bit more deliberate. Max's was nearly like, I'm going to let you pass. And then he kind of thought like, wait a minute. If you're going to
flash
up, I can do the same to you. And sort of like, it was a bit weird. Because, you know, if you look at some of the telemetry, it's a little bit like, did he quite mean to do it? Was he expecting George to come past faster or whatever? It's a bit murky in that sense. But he probably did, obviously, do it on purpose to a certain degree. But maybe there was a little bit of like, nah, or whatever. Whereas Vettel was just like, what are you doing?
But you could tell later on, though, because then he did give back the position. But I thought George Russell was a bit tentative as to whether to go through.
Yeah, what's going
to
happen this time?
Are you going to let me through this time? Or is this the final blow and I'm out of the race? You know, so I don't know. It's just, it's sticky. It's sketchy. And I think a lot of the drivers, you know, Lando Norris said he does that kind of thing in Mario Kart, right? I think he was a bit surprised that got picked up on the TV broadcast.
He was a bit shocked at that, wasn't he? Yeah. Oh, you heard that?
And suddenly they all don't want to comment all of a sudden. And then you know, okay, this is where we're at. But look, he clearly knows he shouldn't have done what he did. So he's got a week off now, but he cannot afford to do anything in Canada because if he gets any kind of penalty point, that's it, 12 points. Mm-hmm. He gets two knocked off at the end of this month, so then he'll be okay. But if he does anything in Canada, no Max Verstappen for Austria.
Well, this is why it's a good thing that there's a little mini break, little mini break before Canada coming up in a couple of weeks so he can have some downtime, get a massage.
Bit of yoga. Clear the mind.
Yeah, and he'll be absolutely fine. Producer Jim.
Let's get off the fence, okay? There's a lot of calls saying that Max should have been. Oh, I think you are. I think that there was a lot of calls that Max should have received a black flag for the ram. Let's be honest, the ram on George Russell. Agree or disagree?
One at a time. No, he probably should.
I don't think it was a ram.
No, but he is the current world champion. He is. You got to set example to all of the racing. Do you know what I mean? If it's a pinnacle, if it's the top thing, you set an example. Even if it's not that intention and it was a brief sort of thing, oh God, what have I done? I don't know. Can you do that when you are the top sportsman in the game sort of thing?
I agree. The more I thought about it, the more I think it was unsportsmanlike. You know, this isn't WWE or whatever. You know, you can't ease off. Deliberately slow your pace to let your competitor through, giving them a clear track, and then ram them on the inside. You know, it's not the F1 game here.
It's kind of weird because obviously nothing happened. They tapped wheel to wheel.
But so what happened if?
But if it had been one where he'd got flipped up or something, or ended Russell's race, because like when he tried to give Hamilton back in Saudi Arabia in the 2021, it was a bit and ahhing, and then he ended up clipping the back of each other. I can't remember exactly whether that was a bit of a like, where the hell's he gone sort of thing. But yeah, it's tricky. I mean, even if not a race ban, maybe a drive-through, so a harsher penalty to have dropped him well out the points, is just to say, like, you know, you can't do that. You can't even begin to have that thought, if you know what I mean.
Seeing it from Max's perspective, he's obviously, his knuckles are white because he's annoyed. The situation, number one, he's been put on hards. Number two, he's now had that little skid as soon as they've released the safety car. Then all of a sudden, then Charles Leclerc's got nearby and he's just... Ugh! And then when you're in that mode, we've all had it when we're out in our own cars and you just have a moment where you just want to honk the horn and just, you know, flip your bird to every driver.
Well, you can do that as long as you don't ram them.
But I'm just trying to see it from his perspective is what I'm saying. It's not a case of, oh, I'm just going to let this guy by and everything's fine. He's in this mode at the time and that's hard to control your emotions.
I think a large percentage of people would do the same thing. But I think, and this is this is when you become the top sportsman or of anything, when you become the face of something, like you are clearly a face of Red Bull at the moment, you've got to be able to contain that. There's that. We've got that British tennis player at the moment, haven't we? Who likes smashing his racket on the floor. Mm. Yeah. He's going to have to calm that down. If he ever becomes number one, he can't turn around and start smashing his racket around because all of a sudden it's like, dude, you are the top. You're number one there. You've got a like.
But we see it. We see footballers lose their minds and start having a fight with each other. It happens.
We're humans. Yeah. That's what we do.
It happens.
But you know, when you're at the top, you've got to be. You've just got to be like nearly inhuman.
Yeah, which and is nice so, for Formula us One to drivers say while we're sat in our chairs.
They are risking their lives technically going at.
And that's why the red mist for them is going to be even worse. Yeah. Because like you said, there's danger involved. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I can understand why he was so annoyed.
Yeah.
Charles has nearly smacked him. He's on the wrong tyre. And his race engine is telling him to give the place back when you don't think he was. That's just like...
And the weirdest thing is he was about to do it, which I think is very uncharacteristic of Max Verstappen to even when told to give back the place.
I'm
surprised he didn't just hold on.
No, he was putting in the effort and listening to his engineer and trying to do the right thing. And then he was just...
She's right in the press.
There's the PR piece.
I'm just saying.
I think I got that in my email from Red Bull on Sunday night. are you double bubbling? Look, ultimately,
you know,
he is an ambassador of the sport. A lot of people look up to him.
Yes.
As great entertainment as it is for us to comment on it afterwards, I think it ultimately, he will regret that. And I think he has.
He has. He's put
that
Instagram.
Post up. And, and if he does anything remotely like that again, then I think there will be a harsher penalty applied. This is the Verstappen of old that we've seen. He used to be when he first came in hot-headed. Young gun.
I think he still is a little bit like that. I think for the over the several years that we've had, he's had a car advantage and it's not been so bad. Mm. So I think he's one of those people that just has to win. Schumacher was a bit like it, really, wasn't he? Win at all costs.
And is that the difference for these top champions?
Probably.
They have to feel like they are almost against the world is against them.
Well, it's not so much that. If you look at a lot of people that are the top of their game, they are quite ruthless because you have to tread on people to get to the top sometimes.
So, Nick, you think black flag disqualified
all points deleted for this year's championship for Max Verstappen. Is that where you're going with that one?
No.
Oh. I think a harsher penalty at least. I think the 10-second thing was, you know, maybe 20 or 30 seconds. The black flag's a tricky one, really. But he definitely should have got a little bit more, and they needed to set an example. Mm. But I mean, if it was me, I'd be looking for stuff in the cockpit to chuck out.
Shouldn't
have. Do you know what I mean?
We can all say shoulda, woulda, coulda. Yeah. The mistake of him being forced to give the place back shouldn't have happened in the first place. And then we wouldn't be sitting here talking about this right now. It was a slight mistake from Red Bull that was hand the place back when he shouldn't have had to do that. And then we wouldn't be sat here talking about this.
No,
right,
but it's
now.
Great, isn't it? Don't you think what, so? What would it's we great be talking about? Things happen. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just so exciting. It's what Formula One does. You think you're going to get a boring race?
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. And now he's 49 points back from the lead of the championship. Yeah.
But he can still claw that back. Do you know what I mean? If you think where McLaren was last year, at the beginning of the year, they were nowhere, got halfway, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a minute. Do you know what I mean? This ain't done. This ain't a done deal.
You think Verstappen could do the same thing?
Who knows? He is an exceptional driver.
Unsure?
He is an exceptional driver. I'll give him that. Do you know what I mean?
You.
He will do stuff. He can drive that car that no one else can drive.
Yeah.
Whether they've tailored it to him or not, we'll never know. But it appears that many people have tried. Probably not. So, do you know what I mean? I believe he definitely has the skills to be able to do it. If he's, you know, if he just keeps calm or whatever, or things don't go against it.
But if he keeps calm, are we going to see him win races? Maybe not. He needs to have his hot head to win those races. This is just what he does best.
Yeah, but that's, I suppose, when you get your hot head, though, then situations can go either way, can't they? Do you know what I mean? Because you end up knocking him off, or you end up sticking your ground and go, I'm not giving him back. Get to the end, they argue it, and then he sticks his position. So that's not a skill thing.
And if he does it again, he won't be even in the race. So we're getting any points anyway.
This has been really stressful.
He's made life hard.
He's not out of it, but it's the first time he's lost. He's left points on the table like that.
Yeah.
Big points on the table.
Yeah.
Like Red Bull could have scored well with fourth or fifth, but he didn't.
Producer Jim.
Okay, we're 9 rounds in and I've probably asked this about 4 times already, but with back-to-back podiums, are Ferrari back? Discuss.
No.
And maybe only with Charles Leclerc, not so much with Lewis. I don't know what's going on with Ferrari. It's so frustrating, isn't it? Especially if you were a Lewis fan and you're a Ferrari fan, you put the two together, you just thought it was a dream come true, and it's just not happening.
I think they changed too much of last year's car. They changed the front suspension, didn't they? They went from pull rod to push rod or push rod to pull rod. I can't remember which way around it was. But when Mercedes did that to follow Red Bull, it took them a little while to get their head round it. It's obviously quite a different way of working. And I think Lewis's head has dropped because he's nearly gone to Ferrari and he's probably seen the same problems as what he had at Mercedes for 2 years, where the ride height's not quite right, it's not quite working right, and he's probably just been like, oh, I'm just so done with this.
And he's not quite clicking with his engineers still, I don't think.
Nah, they need to go on a... Did I say this last time?
They need to
go on a canoe building.
Yeah, you did say that.
Maybe that's scheduled for the summer break.
Yeah.
But you're right, they can't run the car as low as they probably would like, because that's what they got disqualified for in China, if you remember. So they should have been flying out of the blocks at the start of this year. They finished second. They were in the fight for the constructors' battle with McLaren at the end of the season. They should have, at the very least, come out of the blocks as the second quickest car.
Yeah, because it looked like a golden move for Lewis at the end, thinking, oh, this is looking good.
Yeah.
His head does seem to have proper dropped. Like, his interviews aren't very chipper, are they? Like,
no.
Saturday, he didn't seem too bad because he qualified. Did he qualify third?
No, fifth.
He was third for a little while, and then there was a couple of late.
Still,
ones
his best start. One of his best start.
It was above
the
Clerk. It's kind of weird because I look at these interviews and I think, will he walk away at the end of this year, or will he think, I'll just wait till next year because if the cars suit me better, hopefully I'll get my mojo back. Bang.
Depends on the regulation changes.
Well, that's
next
why
year.
He's gone to Ferrari. Surely.
Yeah.
Okay, I think he would have hoped for better this year, for sure. But as with everybody who's made a move, look at Carlos Sainz, for instance, as well, down at Williams, even though his move was obviously forced there. It's 2026. And if Ferrari have not got it together for that regulation change, then there's the big question of how much longer will Lewis Hamilton continue?
I think if it's...
Because he's not here to piddle around down in fifth, sixth and seventh. He's not here for that.
You want him to go out on a high, don't you? Because it's Lewis. You want him to have an amazing season. Even if he doesn't win another world championship, it would be nice for him to be up there challenging for it. And then he will retire.
I also think Ferrari's hopes will be dashed slightly, even though Charles Leclerc got on the podium. Yes, still a decent result, obviously. But Fred Vasseur was really, I think, pinning quite a lot on the stiffening of the front wings for this weekend, which ultimately I don't think made much, if any, of a difference to any of the teams, especially Ferrari.
Thing is, though, if he does, you know, say for next year the Ferrari is good, you're not going to retire when you've got a good car. And this is the problem of when you retire, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you don't want, you know, you want to retire.
You don't want to go past yourself by day.
But why would you stop at the top? And then once you start dropping
again. Well, Nico
Rosberg
did, drop the mic and left.
Yeah, I suppose he did
that. Is that arguably the better way to go? Drop your mic when you're at the top of your game, then no one can say anything after that.
But this is also why I feel like Fernando Alonso is holding on for dear life. Because I feel like as of next year, they've got Adrian Newey. It's like next year might be an amazing car for Aston Martin. So maybe he's just going to hang around just so he can go, yay, final season. Bye.
I mean, I hope it pays off for Alonso because he's made all the wrong moves so far in his career.
He's got a point.
Fine, you got two. Thanks for Verstappen. Finally got two.
How crazy is that Fernando Alonso's only just got a point? Like, he is a driver that will grind the result out of a car of all of them on the grid, and he's only just got a point.
I saw a great fact that said Fernando Alonso is now the only driver that has scored a point in every world championship for the last 21 years.
Wow. Well, up until Spain, he was matching his record for no point scores from 2001 with his first year in Minardi. So I think he'll be relieved to get a couple on the board and not be plumb last in the Drivers' Championship.
Right. Let's move over to social media, the social media roundup. Well, the big social media roundup is that there is no more social media at the moment for Lando Norris. He has taken a little step back, given himself a break. Probably a good idea for where his head is at. I mean, when you get to that point of having millions of followers, it's quite an overbearing thing with the comments and the messages and stuff that you'll get. I mean, I'd like to say that I can relate, but I can't with my 27,000 or whatever you've got, 99,000.
I think I've just got over 1.7 million, I think, last check.
Yeah. Oh, have you? Yeah.
Well, what are you on, Colin?
Which platform? No, social media, my YouTube's my main audience, but I've got a bit of a theory on this. Because, like, I've been doing this for quite a while now. I should have more. I mean, some of my numbers are good, but over the time limit, rubbish. When you first start doing anything, like, you get your niche audience, you get the people that search for what you're doing, are interested in exactly the same thing. So you're all there as a great community and everyone understands it. Mm. Once it starts to get a little bit bigger, you get the people that are kind of interested in similar things.
Yeah.
So with me, it's like people that like building, but not necessarily build what I like. They'll look at it and go, yeah, well done, mate. You've done a good job of that.
Yeah.
Then you get to the next level where it's just people that are kind of in the same genre. Right. So for me, most of my audience is blokes, 96% blokes. So the internet will push it out to more blokes in the same age range and they'll look at it and be like, not really massively into building stuff, but you know, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Lads.
Lads, it's a great thing. Yeah, that's all right. It's not bad. Don't really understand it, but it's not too bad. And then once it goes above that, that's when the net goes into the rest of the internet, because like the YouTube or Instagram goes, right, this is gaining a lot of contractions, but this is, you know, this guy's doing all right. Let's push him out even further. And then you get all the people that don't get it. They don't know what you're on about. They don't know what you're building. They don't know what you stand for. And then they just... they're the sort of people that pile in.
Yes.
And then they're the people I think that can get in your head because they're like, this is rubbish. Why are you doing that? It's a complete waste of time and money.
Have they got in your head?
No, I don't listen.
So how do you deal with it? You just shrug it off?
You just ignore them because you just go, that's they're the people that have come from the big net. Yeah. You just ignore
it. That's easier said than done, though.
It's not.
No,
it's
not.
You just ignore it. Like, I put a post out. I was like, James Bond, three bedroom garage. If James Bond owned my house and I did this little shot where the drone thingy like swooped through the tunnel.
Yeah.
And of course, because the wider people don't know this is going to be an underground garage.
Yeah.
They think it's just a big hole in the front garden. I was like, what's the point of that? It's like, it's not even, it's going to fill up with water. And I'm like, it's not finished yet because they don't understand. So they're like, oh, it's a complete waste of time. You know, it's some crappy council house. Why are you doing it to that? Why don't you do it to a mansion in the country? It's like, because that's, you know, that's my house. That's where I live. So those people don't understand the context of everything. And obviously now Lando is like racing for the championship. They will just come piling and go, oh, you're rubbish, mate. You can't do any starts. Do you know what I mean? Forget it. Do you know what I mean? Or we don't like how you said that or whatever. And it just...
I think we've got to ask you some questions now, Colin. Actually, I am quite intrigued. Right. Because obviously, you with your engineering mind, and you have created some pretty amazing feats. What is your F1 setup like?
My F1 setup?
Yeah, what have you got?
It's amazing!
Like, it's an underground bunker. I think it might be better than what I get in the commentary box.
Yeah, but you've probably got way more information than me.
Well, tell me what are you looking at?
I just watch it on literally. I've got one screen. Yeah, I've seen people that have all the different camera angles, the lap times, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just want to watch it. So that's too much distraction for me. Too many things to be looking at.
No.
I don't think I've quite got the... It's a bit like dyslexia in visual terms. Yeah. Like, that's too much for me. Too much going on.
But it's a proper fancy bunker, yeah. Right? Mm. However, you were saying that while you were watching the race over the weekend, that all of a sudden power goes down. Now he's got to climb up a ladder and go down some corridors just so he can put the power back on. Whereas we don't have that issue when we're watching on our sofas.
It has its drawbacks in underground bunker, doesn't it?
Got festoon lights up and one of the bulbs pops and trip the switch. I just sat on some dong and you're literally in complete darkness because there is no natural light whatsoever. So it's
and you
like
brought
phone
that on yourself.
Job.
Yeah. Imagine if that had happened 12 laps from the end of the Spanish Grand Prix. You would have missed
it
all.
I wouldn't have known what we were talking about.
I think you need to work on your setup there. You need a big screen in the middle. You need a driver tracker on another screen pointed out slightly angled there. You need to have your data screens on the left-hand side. And then I can come round. And can I then please do the commentary from there?
Well.
He's very...
Just get a stable
Nicola
electrics.
Might be able to help with this next one. Oh, yeah. Once I've done my garage... I'm digging a garage at the front, lower the car down.
Yeah.
Why don't we get a car, F1 car, drop it on, turn it round and have a projector.
Shut up.
Projector screen light. So I can sit in an F1 car and watch the race.
Well, where do I sit?
What?
Why am I helping out with this and I don't get any perks?
You can be behind. Get a two-seater one then. Come
Thank
on,
you.
Turn the screws.
But can we get one of the Lego ones? Because that was two-seater, the Lego cars.
They are.
Can we just have a chat with Red Bull and get them to give you one?
Yeah, can definitely do that.
So we need to sort that out. What a brilliant bit of promotion for next year's season.
So,
come on, I'm not joking.
Let me ask you another question.
Go
right.
For it.
So last time you were here, it was just off the back of Melbourne, wasn't it?
Yeah, first race.
And, I mean, we've had a lot of drama since then. So I want to know, are there any particular drivers this season so far that have stood out to you?
I think Hadja.
Yes!
You can't not... He had a terrible first race, obviously, you know, in tears, potentially, on his helmet. You know, obviously being consoled by Lewis's dad.
Yeah.
That, you know, for a guy who was kind of thrust into it quite quickly, because he wasn't really, he was kind of a late caller, wasn't he? Because they were trying to get Colapinto. So whether he was ready or not, or it was even a question mark sort of thing. So for him to come off that first race and just do what he's done, I think's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I think he's probably enjoyed the fact that he hasn't had the pressure of if you do well, you're going to go up to the main team.
I think he needs to stop being so good because suddenly he's going to have Helmut Marko knocking on his door to get into that cursed seat.
If you can drive this one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Lawson's sort of coming back a little bit from that bit of knock of confidence. But no, he's done fantastic. And he's
rookie
not even,
of the season so far, definitely. Yeah.
Definitely, easily.
Yeah.
So. I also think it helps that we have this really young... Formula One drivers getting younger and younger, right? It's six rookies coming this year.
Geez. Yeah, they're like teenagers.
Exactly. I think we forget that, really. Kimi Antonelli still revising for his maths exams.
Well, he only took his driving license test, didn't he, like 2 months ago or something. Crazy.
But if you think Hadjar is your standout, who for you has got work to do? Up and down the whole grid, one driver.
Of all the rookies,
which one was Mushroom?
Mushroom Portaletto.
Oh, Portaletto.
He's had some good races. He's had qualified Hulk a few times, which is, that's pretty good going.
Yeah.
So he's done all right.
Got his best in Spain.
Yeah,
best
he was
career.
All right in Spain.
Yeah, so I think he's doing a solid job. Antonelli, he's had some flashes of brilliance, but again, it's a solid job, but it's nothing like mega amazing.
Okay.
Doohan, I think they dropped Doohan too early.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
Colapinto, he had his. Obviously, when he got drafted in last year after Lawson, he had like two or three good races where it like, this guy's really good. And then he had three or four standard rookie races sort of thing to the point where it took the shine off him a bit. Obviously, why Red Bull didn't snap him up. So again, he's not had those two or three good races yet. Whether he will have or not, I don't know. Time will tell. So I think Jack Doohan did get dropped that a little bit too early.
Right, time to look forward to the next race, the Canadian Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah.
Montreal often gives us quite a good race, potential for some weather there as well. Are we going to see a Max comeback?
Yes.
Could we get a new winner this year? What's going to happen?
That was going to be my point. Canada is often people's first race wins. Kubica, Ricciardo, Lewis. I think that was all their first race win in Canada. So it does seem to give people their first opportunity. But looking at that now, is there anybody with remotely a chance of a first race win with a car at the minute? Probably not.
Kimi?
I don't know if Mercedes is a little bit too far away. But who knows? Because Canada is quite... You don't know, do we?
I don't know.
Why not? You know, it's a bit of weather. So, yeah, because obviously we're going to do the predictions and I'm trying to work out, like, who's going to do well this weekend. And I'm not sure, really, because it's got straights, but it's mostly it's a circuit of chicanes. Mm. So,
all right, well, let's move on to the prediction championship of the world, right? So I'll give you the points from last week. So Team Guest doing very well in P1. So last week, Mr. Stig... nailed it. 8 points for Lando and Charles Leclerc in third. So scored a solid 8 points. Now in P1 with 44 points. I got a whole lot of nothing. Right. So I'm in P2 with 36. At the moment, Ben, he scored 6 points for the Oscar win, but he's still in P3 with 30. And producer Jim, 4 points for Lando. Ooh, you're in fourth place,
shocking.
I'm afraid.
Shocking form.
It's a stupid game, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes. So let's give us your ideas. P1, P2, P3, fastest lap.
I think Max will come back.
That's nice. Good. I agree.
So I think it'll be a Max. Let's go Max, Lando, Oscar, just to flip them around a little bit.
Oh.
And fastest lap, Oscar.
Okay.
I don't really know, though, if I'm honest with you. This is a stab in the dark. Mm. I know, obviously, the first time I was here for China, nailed them.
You
all
did.
Three, didn't
you
I?
Did,
nailed
yeah.
Nailed them. Yeah. So...
Oh, I don't know if I nailed my predictions when I was the guest.
No, you were rubbish.
Was I rubbish? I have got Ben's predictions to submit. So he's been in touch and he has said, P1, Max.
Good.
Says he'll be so fired up. P2, Piastri. P3, Norris, with the fastest lap going to Mr. George Russell.
Mm. Do you agree with that?
I will disagree and flip it and go for Norris win, Piastri second, Verstappen third.
I mean, your points won't matter next week.
No, no, but for what it's worth, I don't think Verstappen will win.
For what it's worth, it doesn't matter anything that's just come out
and
of your
And what
mouth,
are you? So Verstappen, Tsunoda, Hadjar, Lawson, top
four? Yeah.
No? Great.
Yeah, that's exactly
fastest
right.
Fastest lap.
Even in the motorhomes, anyway.
P1, energy station. Yeah, I'm going P1, Max. Because
I feel like I need to change mine there, so you've got a bit of variation.
And you've got to stay with me because I know that I'm right. You've got to go P1 Max. I'm going to go P2 Piastri because I do genuinely think that Piastri is faster than Lando. And I'm going to go P3 Charles Leclerc. And I think fastest lap is going to go to Max. Done. Producer okay. Jim.
Okay. I'm going differently. Norris first. I think he's owed one. I think he'll be all right. Max second because... fire in his belly. Oscar might have a little whoopsie and come third, but he will get fastest lap. Oscar fastest lap.
Interesting.
We can accept that, I think.
We can accept that.
Yeah.
Where do you think Lewis is going to come though?
He has
Canada
magic.
Very good track for Lewis, but is he just a little bit down at the minute and the Ferrari not quite there?
Yeah, but does a good track even mean anything when you're not quite at one with your car?
Don't know. Maybe it's the time where you kind of think like, I can drive a blooming, you know, wheelchair around this.
I just pictured that in my head for some reason.
Top six.
I don't know why wheelchair going to my head.
You're going top six for Lewis?
Top six for Lewis in Canada. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, gotta be surely.
I mean, that's pretty easy prediction. Well, yeah, it's a bit too early to look at the weather radar.
The forecast won't go that far ahead. I had a look.
If there's rain, then I think Lewis has got a shot at a podium for sure, 100%.
If it's going to rain, then Max will win.
Yeah, because Max's wet weather stuff is very good.
Yeah.
That Brazil race last year made them look like they were in a different formula.
It's a masterclass.
To the point where I was watching it with Charlotte, and she was just like, they're not even trying to stop him overtaking. She's like, this is rigged. And it's just weird because when you start looking at it from like a neutral's position, it's like, kind of does look a bit like that, doesn't it? They didn't even defend at all. It just went,
yeah. Well, it was one of those where all of the drivers were going, no, this is so dangerous. We're going to have a crash. We're going to die. Yeah, and then Max is just like,
I'll just drive around here.
It's amazing. Yeah. Right. Now, as always, we need to finish the podcast on an interesting fact or an interesting story that you've got, please.
Okay. So, because I get asked these before I come.
Yeah.
So my interesting, it was an idea rather than a fact, or it's definitely not a fact. Are flies and snails time travellers? Or do they essentially see time differently? Because you know if you try and swat a fly,
yeah.
Harry's like, what? It always moves out of the way and stuff. So I was thinking like...
They see in slow-mo though, don't
yeah,
they?
So if you imagine that we're 25 frames per second, we're POW.
Yeah.
We see it that... We process the world at that speed, but they process it so much quicker that we're just all like, you know, doing this. But in their heads sort of thing, are they living in a slightly different time frame? So now for a snail, we're literally going around like mad.
Yeah.
They're crazy because they can't get out of the way of us because, oh, I didn't see him coming sort of thing. But yeah. If their, you know, visualization is of us whipping around really fast, then they're technically, they're going through time or going backwards. Can't remember which way round it was now. Do you know what I mean? So maybe time is just how fast you process it.
What about slugs?
Slugs and snails, very
put
similar.
Them in the same category.
Well, I just want to make sure we're crystal clear about what
the
we're
shell is
here.
Irrelevant to this.
Fine.
Do you know
well,
what?
The shell could be the key to time travel, no?
It's not time travel.
It's time processing.
It's perception of time. That's what it is.
Do you know what I mean? Because we just imagine that everyone else is processing things at our same rate.
But yeah.
If it was a computer, they've got a better processor.
Because if that's correct, then that makes me feel really, really bad for the snail that got caught on my windscreen one time while I was going down the M25. He must have been terrified.
And can a snail even see a fly? Because we think flies are moving so fast, we struggle to see them.
Yeah.
A snail won't have any concept of what a fly is because it moves so fast it can't see it. So is there something in this room that is moving so quick that we can't see it?
So would you put the snail in the same sort of time category as a tortoise?
No, tortoises are actually faster than you think. Right. My ex-boss had a tortoise and it escaped.
Really?
What? Yeah. We opened the gate and the bloody thing shot out. And then...
Really?
That was, yeah, because we were right in the next morning, like going, what happened? And then I turned around and said, hey, it all happened so fast. And of course, the whole place erupted, didn't it? This tortoise eluded me by getting out of the gate.
Did they get it back?
So, yeah, got it back. Okay. It's literally walking across the main road. So, and I like one of us would go out and I bring it back in. So, this tortoise he'd had since he was a kid, because they live like 80, 90 years, don't they? They're like same lifespan as humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I think there's a podcast in this.
Right.
There's a new podcast in this for sure.
I'm going to be honest with you both. This podcast has been lovely, chaotic, stressful.
I won't be coming back, that's for sure.
I'm actually looking forward to Ben coming back, so we've got a bit more organisation.
Sorry, yeah.
Going to come back. He might just see this and think,
They talk about snails and tortoises and flies.
This has been too much, but I hope that you've enjoyed it. So wherever you're listening, don't forget to click follow. If you're watching on YouTube, then subscribe. If you've got your own predictions, put it in the comments section below, please. And then we'll try and give you a shout out if you get it right next week.
Because it's all free. We're not charging you for these subscriptions. I always think that. You just got to click a button.
Yeah. Mm.
And you know you're going to get X amount of podcasts a year. We're not going to bombard your inbox with nonsense.
And you watch it whenever you're ready.
Yeah.
In your own time. It's no pressure.
Let's wrap this up.
We'll see you next time.